You're listening to the Under Starters Orders Racing Podcast. Expert racing analysis from both sides of the Irish Sea. So stay tuned for the best insights and opinions on the weekend's racing here on the Under Starters Orders Podcast.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Understarters Orders podcast. It's another week, another racing weekend, and this week sees the end of the National Hunt season as it comes to a close at Sandown with its finale meeting, culminising in the Bet365 Gold Cup. I've got three of my main stooges here with us again. It's the main man, Steve Edwards, who's here. Hello, Stephen.
How are you doing, Chris?
All right, buddy. How's your week been, bud?
Yeah, good, mate. It's been good.
Good.
Busy, but good, which is good.
That's good. Got to keep busy. Got to keep busy. That's what it is. Also, joined from one half of our Irish trio, it is Andrew Cummins. Hello, Andrew.
Chris, how are you?
Irish trio, Irish double. Yeah, am I right, mate? How are you?
No complaints from me.
Good, good. And we have also got Declan Carroll. Hello, Dec.
Good evening, lads. How are you?
That lighting's looking better every week, Declan.
You're getting the heat on it.
We're just waiting for the green screen now. That'll make it even better.
It'd be live from Aintree.
Yes, let's tell everybody about our Aintree venture. Go on, Dec, because you started all this.
I think it was Andy, was it? I just booked the flight. Oh,
yeah, you jumped on it, didn't
actually,
you?
I said, let's go to Aintree, and he had the flight booked. So that's that.
So we are going to Aintree in December, on the 4th of December, for the Beecher Taste. We've all come together. All the Eurocup podcasts. I hope you're coming, aren't you, buddy?
I'll be there, mate.
We will all be there. If you want to come with us, you can meet up with us there at Aintree on the 4th of December. Just no stupid idiots, please.
Because I have to book the apartment.
Well, we'll let you know very soon. Anyway, it's going to be £5 a photograph with Declan Carroll. Anyway, £5 a photograph. Oh, what a great shout to start the meeting anyway. Thank you from Paddy and Brownborough. Milkshake, I nearly said. Miltwood, what a shout from Chrissy. She's like, Miltwood was fantastic at the weekend. Thanks very much. Listen later. We've got some big, big naps for you coming this weekend. How's our week's been? Good? Looking forward to this Sunday? The Saturday's racing?
Friday more than tomorrow, probably.
Friday more than Sunday, Saturday?
Typical taxi driver.
No, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to the 2 mile chase. Is it 2 miles? It's 2 miles, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's just crack right into it, because tomorrow's racing are three decent two group twos and a group three, and we'll kick off with the group three Richmond Stakes. Yeah, Gordon Richard Stakes. Yeah, which is a group three. Here we go. We've got the betting come through here. Let me just load this up. Here we go. We've got highest ground here at 5-2. This is with Skillbet. Don't forget to sign up with Skillbet and use the code USOBET10 to get yourself a free £10 free bet when you first sign up with them. Head on over to www.skillbethq.com. We've got at the top of the market here from Stu, we've got highest ground at 5-2. Walconig at 3-1. Hookham at 100-30, Thunderous at 4-1, and 6-1 higher. The rest. Where do you want to start here, Steve? Because I'd imagine you'd like to get your teeth into this, buddy.
Yeah, I've been looking at this race myself. Week really, sort of just browsing it, betting special. Thunderous was like a 2-1 shot when the market first opened. Do you say Stu's offering 5-2 on highest ground? I think I just see 7-4. So that's quite a good plug, isn't it?
A good plug.
So you've got Harsh Ground and Thunderous. They bring last year's Dante form. I think this sounds like deja vu from last week when we were talking about the Newbury race, that our Aussie one. But I try to avoid the Johnson horses when I back them. But I'm not sure why this didn't run since the Dante. He must have had a few little niggles. But he beat Harsh Ground fair and square in that race. The stat factor in this race is quite a big thing. I think he's won this race probably more times than he's won King George's. I think a Crystal Ocean ask. There's endless amount of horses, like 4 or 5 year olds that have won this. Is he priced up accordingly on that? I wouldn't be too sure. World Conic was sort of the talking horse before like many of the last year's Derby trials. He won a little race last time at Pontefract, so he could be on the way back. He's probably a bit too short, really, on last year's form, although he wasn't far behind Mishriff in that Newmarket race, which now looks like unbelievable form. Hookham brings a Royal Ascot win and a nice little win at Newbury, but I'm worried about the ground for him. I'm wondering whether he'd like a bit more dig in the ground.
Yeah.
It's a race I'm really looking forward to. You're looking for a bet. I'm sort of struggling, really. I'm sort of looking at Hookham. I think he could be the most sort of progressive horse in the race. He sort of had a light campaign last year. They all did, really, but most of them had excuses for not running. He was just he didn't look like he stayed in the St. Ledger. Back down to a shorter trip. I do like the look of him, Chris, but if you put a gun to me, I probably would back Hookham, but I wouldn't be confident. It's a race definitely to take a few out of for later in the year.
Yeah, watch the form lines from this race, definitely. Because there are some good form lines coming into the race. So it's just, obviously, who's ready first start of the season, apart from Walt Conigu, who obviously won well at Ponte. Andrew, have you got a strong view on this one?
I actually don't think this is a tidy little race. Basically every horse in the field, maybe outside of Desert Encounter, is going the right way, showing progressive form. I would excuse Extra Elusive's run in Saudi on the dirt track. Just a quick question though, I know it's a bit far fetched, but is the Ebor worth £1 million this year again? Did I read that somewhere, or was that a different race?
You know, you have read that, right?
It was the International, isn't it?
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Are you sure? I thought it was this year.
The Ebor, it's a richest handicap in Europe, though, isn't it?
I think. Yeah, it was £1 million, wasn't it? But I definitely read the Judmont International.
Yeah, no, I think it was the International, yeah. Mm. It's just like, I that race just plays in my mind. I don't know why, but anyway, Hookham, I'm just kind of surprised. I suppose this is a nice starting point for him. And it might be unfair to say that this isn't going to be his trip. You know, like, he did show really classy form over a mile and a half, and it might even be unfair to say he didn't stay in the Ledger. I think it'd be worth another try at that staying trip, but coming back to 10 furlongs, I suppose it's a nice starting point, but I'd say he's best watched here. Highest ground in Thunderous, obviously, is, as Steve said, their form in the rescheduled Dante is probably the leading form on offer here. There's not a lot between them, but there's a big difference in the price, possibly suggesting that Thunderous may need the run, and Highest Ground is maybe a little bit more forward. Thunderous, I felt, beat Highest Ground fair and square in the Dante. I said to you guys last week that I might have been a bit surprised that Thunderous was starting out over a mile and a half, but because this race is what I thought he'd run in, the Gordon Richard Stakes, and this is where he's ended up. He would have been my pick initially. The Drift wouldn't necessarily put me off. I think the 5-1 is really, really good value. Volskneg, who I loved personally slagging because everyone thought he was the best thing ever when he won that Wolverhampton Novice, but he won a, like, that was a very I'd have to tip my hat to John Gosden. Like, he picked out that Pontefract handicap off the horse off 101. Volcanic wins it nicely, and it was a really, really nice starting point for an inexperienced four-year-old. He is stripping fitter. Like, he could be the best horse on the day, but maybe not be the best horse going forward. That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, but I just think Thunderous, a 5-1 is a very fair price, and Highest Ground is one who I've thought a lot of. Like, he did very, very well to win at Leicester on his debut, and he did absolutely nothing wrong since. Possibly the ground was against him at Newmarket in October when he missed a little bit of time. He was off about 3 months, but he just be a bit too short for me at 7-4, and the fact that he's so closely matched with Thunderous, who I can back a 5-1, it kind of seems a no-brainer to me. So I'd be with Thunderous here, but it's a race that you could definitely look back on and keep citing going forward, because I think these, you're getting, at minimum, you're getting three horses in Highest Ground, Hookham, Thunderous and Volcanic, who have had very few starts, and like, they're almost certainly progressive. So it's definitely a race you can almost follow blind. Unless, of course, Desert Encounter wins. And as much as I like the horse and as much as I admire him, if a 9-year-old that's rated inferior to a lot of these is winning this race, then that throws up a lot of red flags.
October at Nuber, is it in the soft or in the Canadian National? That's when he's season.
That's his
Arlington Million or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where they'll go. Deck, what about yourself for this one, mate?
Yeah, I agree with Andy. It's an interesting little race. Like, it's a bit, looking back at last year, the Dan Day was run 5 days after the Derby. Like, it's just strange when you're looking back at the form. The Derby. I think Highest Ground was just outstayed by Thunderous and the Dante. And I think, look, if they were all turning up here with the same level of fitness, I think Volcanique is covered by the two of them. I liked Hookham last year, and I still like Hookham, and I really like the form of the Leisure. I think it was a good Leisure. Without a Fight ran really well last week. He was second. He was behind Bear Sharocco was second in the Leisure. When you look at the others who come out of the Leisure, you know, Subjectivist went and won the Royal Oak. He's gone and won in Maidan. Sunchart ran a cracker to be behind Bloom the last day at Nace or Navan. You know, the form of that race is really, really solid. And I know it's not an ideal trip for, you know, for a horse who's running the Leisure, but I think this horse has a lot of class. He reckons he didn't quite stay. Maybe he's right, but, you know, if he did, he might be coming back to you know, I don't think he's a 10 furlong horse, but I think he has a good chance here. He has won over a mile on the all weather. It's between the three for me, and I just don't really know enough about Thunderous. Like, Thunderous got injured after the Dante. He's fairly lightly raced for a Mark Johnson horse. What's the name of that horse? Runs every week.
Communique.
He's out in the desert now at the minute, though.
Yeah. With the Mongolian Derby.
With the camels. You
know, Highest Ground. You know, Michael Stale horses start to, you know, they just keep improving with age, don't they? So the two of them are, it's going to be enjoyable to watch, but I do like Hookham. Yeah. Looking at the rest, like Desert Encounter, I've seen younger horses running here than the Veterans Final, like, you know, in January.
Get to the Veterans later.
You were dying for that one.
Yeah, look, it would probably be Hookham for me, but, you know, that's because you forced me to make a selection. It's going to be quite an interesting race to watch. It's not often I'm looking forward to watching a race this early in the flat season.
No, well, at least it's not over 7 furlongs for you anyway, Dick. That's the main
thing.
That's the main thing. So selections there, Deck. What's your selection, buddy? Give it.
Hookham for me on the back of that Leisure form. I think it was a really good Leisure, and I think we'll see more winners this year from it.
Hookham for Deck, Andrew.
I'd love to see Hookham get booted out in front and play the Catch Me If You Can role, but it'd be Thunderous for me, seeing if he can. seeing if he can.
Table service.
It would be Thunderous for me, but I'd be watching the market, because if he drifts, like, I know he's drifted earlier in the week, like Steve said there, as well, but if he drifts, then there's, like, you'd be highlighting some red flags there, but it would be Thunderous for me initially, as he is 5-1, but if he went out to, like, maybe 8s or 9s, you know, it's still back him, but I'd be, you know, you'd be worrying.
And Stephen?
I do like Hookham, but I also think the stout money might be significant.
7-4.
That's quite, not just because of the race that he's housed over the years, but
yeah,
every now and again, stout has these 3-year-olds where they're hyped up before the Dante or the Chester race, and they're talked about as Derby runners before. And he's not someone to rush them, but I don't get put off by the fact they might have run a stinker at the end of their 3-year-old career. Harbinger went right off the ball into his 3-year-old career. Telescope the same. They come back as 4-year-olds, you're thinking, oh shit, like, back, she wasn't too clever, but they come back as different animals.
They make a lot of physical progress, don't they? I feel,
yeah. And he's obviously just made a decision after the Dante last year and just said, that's it, I think Hookham price wise for me is probably a safer option, but like Andy said, I probably won't have a bet until 3 or 4 minutes before the off. Just look for a value angle or something.
Because you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
Will Thunderous anyway, have that high Claire stud syndrome and be a psycho? That would come put my theory to the test there.
A high Claire. Oh, yeah, you can put that.
High Claire stud syndrome where they have those colours. Yeah. Remember telescopes?
Telescope as well, wouldn't
he? Yeah.
No cases.
Right, let's move on to the next race, boys. It's the Bet365 Mile. We don't like endorsing other betting products on here, so forget about that. But we'll just call it Mile Group 2, Friday on at Sandown. And let's see the betting from this from Stuart Skillbet. Four runners. We've got Palace Pier in at 1-2 on. Kuzam at 9-4. Happy Power 9-1. And Bless Him for the Simcock Yard at 33-1. This looks a real smash and grab here, doesn't it, Andrew, for Palace Pier?
Yeah, you can see these just running Indian file and being a piece of work for Palace Pier. He might just sit second and, I don't know, whoever decides to bring them along, Frank, you just roll them out and that's that. Kuzam, like, he's rated 116 off the back of winning the all-weather final mile. Now, he beat Mum's Tipple 5 lengths, and I suppose that would be relatively fair form. But he's ran twice in his life on turf, never won. Like, he would have to prove himself on turf like that. That Easter form, that Good Friday form, it doesn't really translate to the turf. It very rarely does. Like, you see, we saw some smart horses win that Easter Classic and that mile, and they don't tend to really go on. Most times they're actually put away until next winter, but, like, you know, the smart ones that maybe just take a bit of time to come to hand, you don't usually see them kick up much of a storm on the turf. So I'd be best watching Kuzam here. I like the value if you wanted something to finish second to Palace Pier, and you can't even really do a lot because there's only four runners. Happy Power, like, he's a very generous price at 10-1. You're going to get the narrative that this horse doesn't stay a mile, even though he's won over a mile and he's been Group 1 placed over a mile. Group 2 placed over a mile. He was only beaten a length in 3/4 by 2 Darren Hot in the Sussex Stakes in his career. And Andrew Balding did a great job kind of nursing him back to form last season after, you know, he might have taken a few confident knocks in Group 1s when he was running behind the likes of Duke of Hazard in his pump and 2 Darren Hot and, you know, King of Change. He was behind the likes, I think, of Space Blues as well. Like, he's really, really smart form in the book. And, you know, 10-1 is a huge price. Like, if he is forward, he'll give Palace Pier something to think about, I feel, even though he is giving away the £3. But if Palace Pier is fit, like, he was mixing it with some serious, serious milers last year. Like, I made no secret how good I thought the older milers were last year, and Palace Pier did beat them in France. Albeit on very testing ground, and he may have had excuses in the QE2 when he lost the shoe, but, you know, if he returns in that similar form, it should be an open and shut case. But I really wouldn't be surprised to see Happy Power, you know, give him a right race, even though he's given a bit of weight away. You know, like, would you want to have a forecast bet in a four-runner race where one of them is a handicapper and has absolutely no chance and has been trained for the Royal? Yeah, Bless Him. No, you probably can't. Like, Bless Him is clear. Like, he's clearly being trained for the Royal Hunt Cup.
Yes,
you know, Kuzam, you know, he's probably a smart horse, but can you trust him? Like all his forms on the all weather. And then, you know, you have Happy Bear, process of elimination. You're probably not going to get paid well enough to have a straight forecast back, because, you know, if Palace Pier is just alive and well, he just wins this. So,
yeah.
But look, I do think I won't waste people's time, but I would say Happy Bear is a horse to follow. Over those 7 furlong, even to a mile. Because he will get a mile, and there's going to be a narrative going around that he doesn't get it, but he will get it. So that would be it for me. Palace Pier, to, for what it's worth, to be Happy Power.
Declan, you?
Yeah, look, Annie's covered it pretty well. You know, Palace Pier does have excuses in the QE2. You know, he did lose a shoe, but also the excuse that's a shambles of a mud festival, really. You know, it's run deep into the I'd just be putting a line through any run at Ascot on Champions Day. It's usually run on heavy ground. It's deep into the national hunt season. You know, I think it's only 2 weeks to the Morgiana, and I don't really think it's form you can take seriously. You know, it's run at the wrong race course. It's just, you know, it's overhyped. British flags everywhere telling us it's great, you know, and you get all these mad results. But look, keep telling us it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
he's very hard to judge on his all weather form. You know, the 2019 tour form wouldn't be good enough. Like, Andy's covered it pretty well. Like, he's beaten Mom's Tipple on the all weather. But like, none of these should really be good enough. I'm not sure that the mile does suit Happy Power, Andy, quite as well as you think. I agree. Keep an eye on him over the 7 furlongs. Like, he finished the season at that Mud Festival, going back to 6 furlongs, and you know, you're going to put a line through that run there. He was well beaten.
He wasn't beaten. He beaten, yeah, four, yeah, I suppose 5 lengths in a sprint.
Yeah. Like, you know, so, you know, he was way down the field anyway. And bless him. It says it all, really. Bless him in this race. Look, you know, none of these should really be putting it up the Palace Bear. He did look exceptional last year. I found it quite hard to warm for him, but you know, he done nothing wrong apart from turning up on a day. I can't even remember what the ground was like on Champions Day.
It was worse in France, I think, when he won. It was
it's the timing of that festival as well, you know.
In the winter,
It's in November. It's nearly in November. It's late October.
I don't think he was over the top. Gosden's horses at that time were running.
That's
what
the season's over.
He was beaten by two very fresh horses too.
Mishriff was stone last in that Champion Stakes. There were the two fillies. I can't forget the names that were running the Frankly Darling. I know that went off the boil, but loads of them. He had three or four at that meeting that were really well fancied to run terribly.
I'm glad you agree with me, Steve.
They weren't. Man,
at an awful time of year, PAJ completely missed the boat. You know, Ireland swooped. Ireland swooped, took that date. You know, you make you move the time of the ledger every year.
I'll give you a David January, didn't I?
Yeah, look, Palace should be winning this pretty easy. I can't see any of them really, unless there's something wrong, unless he's been bottomed from that race, but I don't think it is. I just think that race is, you know, we discussed it similar with Aintree. It's coming after Cheltenham. Horses are over the top. He just get funny results at Ascot every year. He should really be winning this quite easy.
Mm. Stephen, you share that?
Yeah, he should win. I mean, he's got Kingman, isn't he? He's Nayef on the dam side, I think, is it? Which means it was spoken about as a derby horse, wasn't it? This might sound bonkers, but I'd love to see him over 6. He's got so much speed. The Jack Lamarois or the Moulin was the race in France, a straight mile. What he'd done in that half a furlong, I think he put 5 or 6 legs behind Good Animals. I think, and he travelled so well, I think he could do that over less of a trip. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but I just think it's another option for them. He'll win this, and then he'll probably go for the Queen Anne or the Lockinge, I would imagine.
Could happen if he got beaten at Lockinge.
What, so drops?
You never know. Actually, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, it's actually
even the Revenant race. He come there swinging. Yeah. The race, what was it he beat in France? I can't think of it, but he had that
Alpine Star.
Yeah, he went far. And in the end, I thought he was half hanging on a bit, you know.
Yeah, she's a middle distance filly. She probably just, it was more the schedule that dictated where she went. But if she's still in training, which I think she is, she'll go up and drip. Definitely.
All the fact Frankie put the race to bed and it just idled on. Yeah, I definitely think it's an option for him dropping back. But yeah, I
Palace
think
Pier old
Palace Pier. Yeah.
Palace Pier. Palace Pier. Right, let's move on to the Classic Trial next, isn't it? The Classic Trial. Let's bring up the betting for the Classic Trial from Stu. And we see here that we've got, it's quite an interesting renewal list, really, of the Classic Trial. Yabir at 2-1, Lone Eagle 9-2, Adaya at 6-1, Trollerman 15-2, Sir Lucan at 8-1, and Etonian at 8-1, and 9-1 bar those. Where do you want to start with this, Declan?
The Classic Trial. The last Derby winner from this race, 1997.
Stats.
Lenny the Dip. Didn't even win this race.
You beat Silver Patriarch in the Derby,
yeah. I look at the one at Epsom the other day, the last one was in 1939.
Hold on, Craxman won that race, eh? Or is Eric Deck?
Yeah. So he couldn't even beat Capri.
He's a dual classic winner.
There you go, Ellen the Galmoy. Extra heavy. It's a competitive affair, isn't it? This one, like, you know, there's plenty of runners, and you know, as you were saying the other day, Andy, it's good to see plenty of runners in these trials. You bear beat McGillan at Newry, you know, he's probably hyped up a little bit, McGillan, and you know, he was well beaten in the Racing Post Trophy. Your bear has won here, and the trip should be fine. Lone Eagle pulled clear along with recovery run in the Zetland, and you know, I think Lone Eagle's another one who's going to appreciate this step up and trip. Etonian was well beaten, the Jew horse, but that was a good Jew horse, I think. There's a line of form through King Vega that would put Etonian ahead of your bear if you want to take it, you know, at face value. Trawler Man beat King Frankel, and you know, he can take his place in any race after beating a horse called King Frankel for me, you know.
If at the races have anything to do with it anyway.
Yeah, the at the races stakes. Trawlerman, Adair, he's beating 150-1 shot at like really well at Nottingham, you know, it was an 80-1 shot then in Tord. I think the Tord might have come out and won a handicap, but you know, it's finding it quite hard to judge. The two I find most interesting are Sir Lucan and Bellaccio. Sir Lucan has beaten Flying Visit at Leopardstown. He's gone and won a Group 3. Sir Lucan was fourth in the Beresford behind High Definition. The Kevin Prendergast horse was then second, was toward behind Poetic Flair at Leopardstown the last day. And I think that's, you know, there's more substance to that form than you can take from a lot of the shorter horses in this race. He's probably the price he is because he's not one of Aiden's best. So, yeah. You know, he's probably, there's a lot more substance to that form, I think. David Menuzier's horse is one in France. And
he did that very well.
Yeah, and the horse he beat has won a Group 3 at Longchamp. You know, that race is at Toulouse. A lot of horses from his debut have won since as well. I just find the two of them interesting and probably overlooked in the betting here. There's a good bit of substance to Sir Lucan's form there. You could look at it a few different ways, but there's positive form to there. The rest of them, you're sort of clutching at straws and you're hoping, you know, one of them's going to turn into a Derby horse, as this is a trial. Are any of them going to, is Sir Lucan on the list to go to the Derby? He could well run in it, you know.
Tester.
What colour cap would he have?
I don't know. He'd go off like a scarlet cap, won't he?
Emmett McNamara on board. Yeah.
Look, he's going to stay, isn't he? Like he looks like a stayer. Like, if he's behind that plotter they have as well, he'll probably run the Derby. High definition. Yeah. He wants to stray 4 miles. I just think, you know, their form is quite interesting. The rest of them, you're sort of, you know, you're human and hang on, you're looking for a bit, you know, is there a line there? There's just more substance there. I would probably look, Bellaccio's less exposed. But can you go against Aiden? It's quite hard, like, you know what I mean? He could come over here and win this trial with a horse who won't run in any Derby, you know, in any country.
He's just putting feelers out with this horse, isn't he, though?
He's just finding out what's about, really, isn't he?
He's won the race before.
They call them trials. They're not really trials. They're not even run over the trip. How do you have a trial at Epsom that's not even run over the trip? it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
I'll just go to reverse forecast there then.
I mean, Bellaccio that you mentioned, Minutia's got a very good strike rate here at Sandown too. I think he's over 50% with his placed horses, and he's had over 40 runners here. I'd be interested to see what... Hit up Jay now, see if he can give us some information on him. See if he gives you...
I know Jay is listening. He listens every week.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Just hit him up now in the group, and I bet he'll tell you what he's thinking about that one, because he'll probably fancy it. Steve, what do you fancy for this one, bud?
It's a tough race, isn't it? Appleby's been hoovering up a lot of these trials, hasn't he? He won the Craven. He won the race at Epsom the other day. But then also didn't really go on the track. Worko, was it?
Yeah.
Own Eagle won the Zetland last time over a mile and a quarter at Newmarket. He's sort of it's a little bit dropping just a little bit. Under that. Surely he's going to want a bit further than this. Trollman brings the fitness angle, having won, bolted up in a little race at Pontefract. It's only in similar to Chindit last week. He was beaten at halfway in a Jersey. Always forgive him a bad run at Newmarket. He won well here the time before. He beat King Vega and Apollo One. Apollo One then beat McGallan at Lingfield a few weeks back. Saluka, they drive me mad, these runners, because we keep saying they're testers. And then all of a sudden, you get one that's going to go in about 20-1, and you're all sort of fuming. I don't know. I don't know. I'll let Andy talk about him. Obviously, Dex said a little bit about him. Yabir, he does probably bring the best form of the race. He's also it's a tried and tested method for the breeding, that one. That was out of another Godolphin mare called Rum. She wasn't top class, but she was a decent sort of yardstick. This is a full brother to Wild Illusion that was second to Together Forever in the Oaks. So it's obviously a mate that they like. I quite like your beer, Chris. I think he's had the four runs. He sort of progressed with every run. The day he beat McGallan, he battled back. And the Appleby horses are running in good form, you know.
Got a nice boost from that from the stakes race that he had at Newbury. I think Appleby's reported that he's going quite well at the minute too, expecting a nice run. But obviously there's a lot of them who'll be expecting that too. Minutia actually says that he anticipates he'll run well and he hopes he can win. So 16-1 there, you know, with the track record that he's got there at Sandown. Just come on. I'm just gonna message Jay now. I'm gonna message Jay. Go on, Andrew, what do you think for this, bud?
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see Blaccio as such a big price. You know, winning a listed race in France, like, that does take some doing. It takes some doing to win really any listed race, but maybe the fact that it wasn't done in England, it's maybe, like, even though people can just whip out the race card and, you know, the form is there to look at, but as Dex said, like, correctly, that the runner-up has won a Group 3 since, and he's sitting here at a double-figure price. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me. He's the clear value of the race. There's a certain guy in the house probably down there in the sitting room now who wouldn't mind seeing a Ballardo win a derby trial, because there's a few.
I was going to say, do you think he'll stay?
Yeah, I know. I was saying there's a few on the farm, like a few yearlings and mares and foals, him. So it would be nice to see the Ballardo with a nice flagship runner. I think he will stay personally. You know, the dam, like the dam has produced, she hasn't produced it, but she's produced, like, one of her runners, Poker Master, has actually gone over hurdles. And I know obviously that doesn't sound great, but, like, you know, it does show that maybe there is a bit of stamina in there. The dam wasn't really up to much, I don't think. I think she ran in France and you know, I think she only ran a few times, but they're over longer distances. So I would assume he will stay. Sir Lucan is a brother to Sir Dragonet. He's out of Sparrow, so I'll make him a full brother to Sir Dragonet. You know, Aidan O'Brien has won this race in the past with one of my favourites, Imperial Monarch. Imperial Monarch was favourite, and Joseph O'Brien took the Ryan Moore, not now Cato route in. I don't know how he won the race, but he did it anyway. If anybody hasn't seen it, go watch it. It's mental. I think it was 2012. He's a very, very nice horse. He'll offer a very, very good yardstick, I think. he was as green as grass, really, in his first two runs. And then he duly obliged at Cork, beating Flying Visit, who did win in 9 furlong, the Airfield Stakes, I think, at Leopardstown. And I think the Aga Khan runner, who was third that day, he hasn't won, but he is rated in the high 80s. He's a consistent performer. A little bit frustrating, but the form is reliable enough. I would expect Sir Lucan to go pretty well. As I said, sir, I might have fancied him more if he ended up in the D Stakes or Chester Vaz, seeing as that's what they did with Sir Dragonet. But if you do remember, Sir Dragonet caused a shock in winning that race at Chester. I don't think he was the first string, and he bolted up in it. So if he does, if Sir Lucan, you know, he could, like, the family has caused a shock. So, and you know, you shouldn't expect it with Aidan O'Brien. You shouldn't unexpect what I said with Aidan O'Brien, but I would maybe have preferred Sir Lucan to be running at Chester, because it tends to be where Aidan O'Brien, especially with his fillies anyway, I know he sent Ruler of the World and all to Chester as well, but especially his fillies, he tends to send his more Derby and Oaks hopefuls to Chester. Yabir, he was impressive enough beating Magellan on his latest start. You know, the Godolphin duo, I think they still have to find a little bit. A horse who I really, really like, though, is Lone Eagle. He did pull clear with recovery run in the Zetland. But, you know, what I do love looking for, especially when three-year-olds, when horses go from 2 to 3, are horses that have kind of defied their pedigree a little bit. What I mean by that is Lone Eagle, he's by Galileo out of a mare called Modern Stone, who's by Duke of Marmalade. She took a long time to come to hand. She was a very smart race mare. I think Ed Walker or William Knight, one or the other, I can't remember the trainer off the top of my head, had her. And I think she went to France and America then after that. But she was really good as a 4 and a 5 year old. And, you know, Lone Eagle was coming out and winning races in August and then winning the Zetland. Now, he wasn't the biggest horse. If memory serves, he's kind of a small, kind of terrier-like of a horse. So even though he is by Galileo and has that kind of stout, kind of 4 year old plus pedigree, I'll be interested to see how he's wintered, because he, you know, as I said, he did defy his pedigree, and I'd be a bit worried maybe he was the finished article last year. Now, it's highly unlikely, but it would be in the back of my mind. Now, I would expect him to go pretty well here, because, as I said, this could be his Derby. He mightn't be good enough to win it, but maybe he's a ledger horse going down the line. But I'd expect him to be handy and maybe take them along. But he would be my fancy in the race, but Bellocchio is a bit of a ludicrous price at 16-1 with the form that he's already shown. I'm not sure if I'm correct in saying with the France race, I can't remember if he was slowly away or not. He was certainly slowly away at Salisbury, which can be forgiven. But he is just a big, big price. And as you said, Chris, with Minutia's record at the track, I wouldn't be surprised if he ran really, really well. And then obviously there's Alan Kerr, who runs for the late Alder Flug, who was a friend of the show, unfortunately, although passing away there last week, the top German stallion. He ran well behind Fancy Man of Haydock, and he was another one that maybe defied his
Haydock, getting a mention in there again.
Look, Alan Kerr, he was another horse that kind of went against his pedigree, showing good form at 2, and he should improve immensely at 3. And so he might, you know, be one to look at around 20-1, but it'd be Bellocchio and Lone Eagle who I'd really take from this. And purely on a price sense, be Bellocchio. I'd be backing him each way, but I'm really, really interested to see how Lone Eagle gets on, because I think he's a very, very nice colt.
Yeah, thoroughly agree there. So, Andrew, summarise. 2 selections are from you, is it?
Don't make me summarise again.
What? Is it
no, 2 of them?
No, I'll be taking Bellocchio here. And I'll probably have a personal bet on Lone Eagle as well, but Jesus, here I am with 2. And that'll be Bellocchio for me, podcast.
Oh, there we go. Declan, reverse forecast for you?
Yeah, I'm just finding it too hard to sit them. We go with the reverse forecast.
And Steve?
Sort of toss up between Italian and Yabir, but yeah. So I'm going to go for Italian. He's got the course form.
Excellent. Yeah, Italian did look like a nice runner last year. You can forgive that last run, I think. I think Yabir looks very solid. I really do. I think, like you say, Steve, he has been cleaning up these trials, and I think he will again. Looks a very nice horse for me. Let's move on to Saturday now. Saturday we're going over to, well, it's still, we're staying at Sandown, but we're going over the National Hunt Course now, and we're going to the Oaksy Chase, which is a Grade 2, for one of our cast members who's not here tonight's favourite horse. It's, I wonder whether she's watching, though. Niamh, are you there?
Oh, she is.
Well, if she isn't, she's probably just tuned in now because Lauren's messaged her and said, oh, they're talking about Froron, get on. Yeah, so here we are with Skillbet. Don't forget to sign up with Skillbet. Use the code USOBET10 and get yourself a £10 free bet. Go over to skillbethq.com and get yourself signed up there. Frodon's here at 4-6 on, 15-8 for Mr. Fisher, Born Survivor 8-1, and Militarian, who actually ran really well at Cheltenham, I thought, Militarian at 33-1. Frodon's to lose here, do you think, Mr. Fisher? What do we think, Declan?
Yeah, look, you know, we're coming off the jumps. I should be getting giddy, but Jesus, you wouldn't see a chase this bad in Canada, would you? Like, not great, is it? You know, this is bad. Look, Frodon.
The abuse.
Frodon ran with a lot of credit in the Gold Cup. He ran his best race ever. He ran a cracker. I heard somebody say he didn't stay. He just wasn't good enough. It was a really, really good Gold Cup. And they went out and ran their race, and they ran a really, really good race. Probably ran a personal best. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, that was only to take the three horses to the tour last. Minella, you know, a Plutard and Albion Photo. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about a really, really good Gold Cup, in my opinion. I've said a few times that the stay and chase division was really, really strong. There was a lot of depth of it. And, you know, credit to them. They ran a cracker. You know, that does put them way ahead of this field. Like, Mr. Fisher pulled up in the Ryanair, unseated in the ball. This horse has been well and truly found out. And, you know, he's the spoofer. Beyond spoofers, like, you know, the spoofer of all spoofers. I don't get it. Like, he won the Peterborough Chase. What else has he done? Like, you know,
nothing much of mention. He wouldn't be for me in this at all.
He won it well, though, didn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, fucking hell. No,
he has got a license plate next to his name, hasn't he?
He does, but you know, even seeing him turning up here, why is he even turning up here? Like, you know, surely give that horse
a cash.
Friends of Altior.
Yeah, well, look, you know, Nicky, here's the problem with the eyes. He must have read the wrong, I don't know. Look, he's been well and truly found out, this horse, I think. Born Survivor won a handicap at Stratford, but it's fun. Oh, that is poor. It's really poor.
Dreadful,
wasn't it?
Handicap at Stratford,
into a, you know, it's actually all sevens, I think. It's just, you know, who gets form like that? Who don't you come seventh all the time?
He'd do well in Las Vegas, wouldn't he? Born Survivor,
yeah. Military couldn't even keep up with Mr. Fisher. This Frodon is just gone to,
I just think he ran really well last time.
First time pieces as well.
For Aintree.
First time pieces will get £35 improvement out of them.
It's not run over this trip for a while, was it, Frodon?
No, he's not, actually, no.
Doesn't matter, though, does it?
As they get older, they get a bit slower. And
What is it? That 3 miles this race?
Two
miles, six and a half or something. It's 3 miles.
Yeah.
A Tremor, we just say
it's
fast
ground,
like,
Dick. It's not going
to rain
here for weeks.
Yeah, come on, man. Frodon will lap this. Pull up in a Ryanair, unseated in the ball, when probably, you know, that race fell asunder as well. Mm. You know, he well and truly found out, and I bet you people still back him here on the head check. Yeah, Frodon wins this, please.
Frodon for Deck. Andrew?
Frodon just win this. He'll probably make Mr. Fisher fall.
Just for that, Andrew, that's it. No worries, stories.
Chris, do you fancy Mr. Fisher here?
No, do I balls. No, no way. No.
But like, honestly, with Mr. Fisher now, I know I said this to you guys like off air, but like just looking at his form lines, like if you did put 4P1PU into your sat nav, would you end up at someone's front door? That's a form line.
Probably with a Domino's pizza deliverer.
Maybe in Canada.
It's just it's a really disappointing lineup, and it's just the pattern. Just it's a, you know, British Racing shooting itself in the foot again. I hate to be a broken record, but like there's no need for this particular race. Like 2 miles 6, at least that's unique. I get that, that's fair enough. But would this race not be maybe better served as a handicap, or maybe
I would say something like that.
Like 2 miles 6 is unique.
Make it a grade 3 and put it as a handicap. Mm.
How do you grade it? That is awful. Like, why does it need to be a graded race? Like, just leave the money and call it a handicap. Like, you know, and up the money and they might turn up. It might be a better race than this. Forget about this, you know. They'll probably make it a grade 1 next year.
They will do if Nicky Henderson runs one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is half decent.
Like, it was nice to see Born Survivor back to form, but winning a handicap at a track that literally only runs from the spring to, you know what, September, and is famous for having hunter chases and a water jump at the winning line.
The water, like, and Astro Torf, isn't it a water jump? Is that
I've been to Stratford.
Ruby Welch jumped and got DQ'd once, didn't he?
with no horse on his back?
No, like it was they jumped the last and then jumped over. He jumped over like the water jump and went over the line, but he jumped an extra fence, so he got DQ'd. Yeah, like, literally right in front. You can't, it's technically, it's a ran out. You ran out. Like,
yeah. It's a, you do it's on the final circuit, you've got to miss that water jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason I know Stratford is because Oliver Brady told us his horse would win the day before Cheltenham and everybody back.
You know? God rest his soul.
Tell us about William Shakespeare.
What a guy Oliver Brady was, though.
Yeah, he's great, man.
Yeah, but anyway, back to the L. We better get back to the people. They've been switching off listening to this.
We've just lost about 7 listeners. Thanks,
yeah, Andy. And they're dead. They're dead, right? Frodan was just winning this. Like, Mr. Fisher could force a fall out of Mr. Fisher. Born Survivor and Military and Fair Play. Just pick up your monkey and score and go home.
Mm.
These must be keeping Britain if they're driving all the way for this money. Like, it must be for nothing, is it?
Steve, do you have a strong opinion in this one, mate? Move on from that deck.
I think you can get beat.
I have a very strong opinion about this race. Do you want me to start again?
I think Frankel might win this.
Go on, Frankel.
I think it can get beat. In the last year, he's been 4 for 5, 4 for 8 were in favourite. It does throw the odd stinker in.
You stick to the flat, mate.
He's the only character for a while. It's not a betting race for me, but if you're going to have a bet, if you're just watching the television, you want to have a flutter, you're pretty going to back Mr. Fisher, aren't you?
No.
What? Mr. Fisher?
Yeah.
Would you not even back one of the other ones? Like, he won't finish.
I'd back Militarian to just get round.
It's the last time Mr. Fisher finished the race, the Peterborough Chase. Because he was behind Sam Crow, Fahin, and Mellon, people were like, maybe it could be a good half. But we discussed how
he beat Kalashnikov.
Sure, yeah, that Peterborough chase was run at a very sedate pace, wasn't it?
It wasn't a bad race, was it? It should have been.
Right, it weren't a bad race, no.
Not Cheltenham, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He's got a bit of a love affair with Cheltenham.
But like it's
Clondale Castle was well behind in that race.
Was he pulled up in the Paddy Power Gold Cup as well at Cheltenham, or the one before or whatever?
Mm. Yeah, he was pulled up in the Ryanair. He was pulled up in the
Clondale Castle.
Pulled up in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Yeah,
yeah.
He's not really priced as an option as a second. No. Is he 15 weights too short? But...
You should move on and talk about Stone Bruise to Yorkman.
Yes, let's get off this race.
Yeah, let's get off it. Anyway, let's move on to the celebration chase. Celebration chase. It's a grade one on Saturday at Sandown. Let's load up the betting for the celebration chase. A little bit more competitive and a decent race on the cards here for Henry de Bromhead has sent two over here with a newer and put the kettle on, who's in at favourite at 15-8. Altior 5-2. Scorer Sol Real at 3-1. Grenatine 6-1 and Nutswell 12-1. Dolos is the outsider here. Put the kettle on for you Irish guys. Are you back in this one, Andrew?
7-4, 15-8. Like, she's priced right. Like, all her best form is clearly at Cheltenham. Maybe she's better in the spring as well. You could definitely make that argument. I know she won a Schlor. But she was originally campaigned as a summer and summer and spring hurdler and chaser. She's too good for that. So obviously they campaign her sparingly, but it's more to just keep, you know, when it's more to just they do what she likes, basically. They do it on her terms. She's a fantastic mare. Now Scoo Royale was desperately unlucky. It was Scoo Royale. He was desperately like Rouge Vif, just it was almost a UFC move. I don't know, it was like nearly putting through the rail. He did well to finish the race, never mind just get beat three lengths. Ornua, it was great to see him get back in the winner's enclosure after such a long time between drinks. He won at one of the best tracks in Ireland there, Wexford. He did, I suppose. But it's still a kip. Nutswell, you know, he only ran 2 weeks ago. You have to think this is an afterthought. Grenatine's just like, we kind of know what he is. Dolos is not a grade one horse. Then there's Altior with, I think obviously this is the first time cheek piece. I think this is about the third time I've seen first time cheek pieces beside his name. He just keeps getting withdrawn. Look, it'd be great to see him win it, wouldn't it? But yeah, you know, it's just,
is he alive?
It's almost kind of it's frustrating and sad, isn't it? Like the horse has done absolutely nothing wrong, and then there's like us lads come on here and absolutely roast him to smithereens, even though he's one of the best horses of the 21st.
Yeah, we roast his trainer.
It's an easy target. He's like that quiet kid in school,
It was better than
he had everything. Yeah, who has that parent who brags to the other parents on how bloody good a football he is, you know, or something like that. That's it. Yeah, like you could see him just being off the bridle at the railway fences. You know, like
I don't think he does be off the bridle. It's Nico's just big awkward agent on a horse. Like, do you know what I mean? He's so awkward over the fence. Like he looks like he's pushing the horse along, but it's just, his arms are gone with the reins, like, you know. I just think it's Nico's style. I've never really rated him, you know, particularly over fences, and that's, you know, sounds strange when he's won so many grade one chases, but he was fortunate enough to sit on really, really good horses. Sorry, Andy.
No, you're all right, man. Scoo Royale's enjoyed a really, really good season, but do I want to back him at 3-1? I could probably put the kettle on by default. It will be put the kettle on by default for me. It's a great race. As Richard says there, this is good prep for a race course gallop at Newbury in the early part of next season. him and John Bon and Beware the Bear burning up the straight. I can't wait. I think that's going to actually, that's apparently going to be on pay-per-view. I heard,
Don't forget Flint to Sacrity.
I would think there, Altior, he probably will make his way into the Racecourse Galloping Hall of Fame. I'd love to see him win. It'd be great, but I think the mare is, like, she's only seven.
And she loves Sterling.
She loves that cash. She loves that Sterling. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, all the time, loves it.
Before we go to Declan, let's go to you, Steve.
I'd love to see, like I say, if Altior runs, you'd love to see him win. It's just, you just don't know what you're going to get there. He sort of palmed off Grenatine there, didn't we? But He won the Howden Gold Cup and he was second at Politolog in the Tingle Creek. It's probably the second best bit of on course form we've seen this year, apart from the champion chase. And I mean, put the kettle on his form. Screw Royale was unlucky in the champion chase. Anything with Screw Royale, he doesn't always final off the bridle. I know he's a favourite of mine, but there's many a time when he's sort of gone to the last. He led out here at the last a couple of years ago, and
there's a reward for those horses. See,
well, he's got enough ones against his name, Dex. He's not. I don't think he's. He's not a professional loser, is he? He's just. I think he's got one short spurt, but
the soul power of jump raising.
Soul power. What a horse?
Yeah. Put the kettle on. What do you think away from Cheltenham? She's still going to be the same, or
that's the question, isn't it?
She just loves Sterling, though, doesn't she?
It's just like unlike her stablemates, Chris's Dream and Notebook. She loves getting on the boat. She gets the Union Jack as a rug put over. She sings "God Save the Queen" across the Irish Sea.
Can't wait for her. Yeah. Now, like Scoo Royale, probably would back, but like Andy said, I think 3-1's too short. Put the kettle on's bomb proof. I wouldn't be backing her at 7-4. It's another race where I'll probably wait a little bit longer. See if Altior turns up. If Altior runs, it'll probably be backs. So everything else will probably drift out. You might get 4 or 5 to 1 Screw Royale, and in that case, that would be my bet. But
yeah,
I don't think Greener team's out of it either. Like I said, the Helm Gold Cup and the Tingle Creek.
What did you make of Nutswell's run behind Fakir Didari at Aintree? I mean, he did get squeezed up at a crucial point in the race, didn't he? And he's probably going to have to improve her again here, isn't it?
Is he fast?
He's not going to improve. What age
is he? He's 10.
But he is fast on the improve. You know, if you look at the visualization of that last run,
it was Aintree
that he would improve.
Aintree,
Yeah, but whether he improves enough, probably not. No.
Did he improve for that runner entry? Or was everything else bottomed and not running the race?
That could be the case.
Performs. Notebook was well beaten at halfway, itchy feet, probably.
He found that far with itchy feet from the old road.
Duke the Genevieve, such an up and down year, isn't it? Like, he nearly beat the kettle on in November.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what they do that next year.
What's your selection for this, Dak?
Just me selection.
Oh, you just feel.
Look, put Andy said, put the kettle on. Put the kettle. She's like a Viking, isn't she? She loves a red. Absolutely loves a red. It's the first time we'll see her riding outside of Cheltenham. I don't know whether she loves a red or she just loves Cheltenham, and Cheltenham is that sort of track. You either love it or you hate it, and she improves a stone around there. And she's a very, very tough mare. Look, she has won her other tracks in Ireland. You know, she's won at Tipperary. She sort of just, you know, since she came to the fore and she won as a novice at Cheltenham, you know, she's obviously improved for chasing. And she's gone to Cheltenham. And then she has run most of her race at Cheltenham. There's only one at Leopardstown. And she was toured at Leopardstown, but that form is not bad. You know, Jacques Courtois was exceptional that day. And Notebook is a very, very good horse. That form is not bad at all, you know, but she does just improve so much for Cheltenham. I don't know whether Sandown will have the same effect. Look, at Aldior, I've said a good few times, you know, he was the fastest horse in training. He was amazing for a long time, you know. And these grade ones, they just take it out of you. Oh, you know, he's only 11 now, but he has ran in grade ones forever. So it does catch up with you. He's running and won more than most will, you know, and credit to him. He did look a shadow of his former self the last day when Nubian Egret beat him. You know, we're hearing the you know, talking about Spielvers. We're hearing the stories again already this week that he's absolutely burning up the gallops. That usually means he's not going to run. You know, it's either that or the last time Nicky could see he was burning up the gallops 3 years ago. But that's the way he plays the market, I think. You know, when he's in top form, he usually stands on a stone 2 days before the race. Betfair goes mad. Nicky gets his little bit. He comes and wins the race. So I don't know. Just going by that, Nicky's form, it tells me he's not going to win this race. And look, wouldn't it be great to see him win this race? And if there's people there, it would be amazing. It would be great to see this horse go out on a high. He's been unreal. What a chaser. Beautiful looking horse. Big head, big ears. You know, he has been one of the best doing well chasers that's ever been. Scott Royale has had a very interesting season. Like, he ran in the Fight of 50, was second. He's ran in the International, and then he's ran in the Queen Mother. He's not a horse I quite like, you know, and Steve said he doesn't always find an awful lot off the bridle. Like, just going to Nutwell, like, I wrote down that he was second to Fakir Entry, but I don't think he can always, like that Ascot Farm at, in November or October. You can't always take it too serious, and winning distances and all, don't take it too serious at all. And even when we touch on Punchestown next week, again, horses are over the top. It's very, very late in the season. It's not to be taken as gospel. I think Brinantine is a big danger here. That was a big run from him in the Queen Mother. He was fourth, but he was only beaten about two lengths. He was second in the Tingle Creek. Newbury looks a blip to me. And I'm willing to put a line through that. And I think he's a big, big danger, and he's actually my selection.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Declan. So, Grenadine for Declan, Andrew?
Favourite, put the kettle on.
Put the nap on.
Put the nap on. She won't be napping her now.
Haha, Stephen, you?
Yeah, screw her out. Well deserved. He's mentioned Fresh Milkwood and Buzz. Give him a couple of stone over hurdles earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Oh, wait and talk. Lauren and Chris. He's laughing at you.
Don't laugh at me. Lauren's willing to nap Altio for what it's worth.
You never back with your heart, do you?
Don't back with your heart.
Don't give your money your heart. You keep it in your pocket.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to the Gold Cup Handicap Chase. It's a grade 3 at Sandown. Let's bring up the betting for this. It's quite wide open. This Plan of Attack, another De Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore, possibly smash job. Kitty's Like 5-1 and Rillo 11-2. El Presente 6-1. Potterman 9-1. Golden Fortune 10-1. And 11-1 for the veteran Cross Park. And there's a few other veterans in here who should be. He's probably just running here at the end of the season. It's veterans. Where's the veteran chase final? Way at the end of the season. Got Crossbark. Who else is in here? Smooth Stepper, all veterans. Declan, have you got a big opinion on this one?
There's two I like. In Rillo and Golden Fortune, they both ran in the Peltham. In Rillo, he's a lightly enough race chaser of Paul Nichols. He was pulled up in the Feltham, but I think this might be his sort of level. And I think the trip's going to bring out a lot of improvement. I think he's very, very interesting. Golden Fortune has competed with a lot of good horses this year. He was well beaten in the Midland National, but he never really got into it. And when he didn't get into it, he didn't stay. And I'm willing to put a line through that. He was third at Warwick. He was, you know, you could say he was last, but he was 3-3 at Warwick. That's the race that Next Destination won. Put on the roof a second, and look, you can take a lot of form through Fiddler on the Roof if you want this season, because, you know, he's come second a lot, but he's been fairly consistent. Maybe he chases horses a little, but you can use him as a tool to you know, as a line of form. Plan of Attack is obviously interesting, because as you know, it's a team at the moment. Any Irish horses running in Britain backed them blind, but I don't know. I think he probably likes a raid as well. He's won an entry. He ran really, really well at Cheltenham. He was fought in the Kim Moore, and then he was going well when he came down in the Kim Moore this season. Actually, I don't think he'd have won it, but he doesn't mind. He likes a bit of Sterling as well. Maybe the two of them are. I don't know, grab a bit and who knows, and get Jiggy on the bow home. Yeah, look, it would be between Enrillo and the Golden Fortune for me. like you know me with these handicaps, it'll be a reverse forecast between the two of them.
Yeah, I like these myself. My next best probably goes in here. I've been umming and ahhing one. I spoke to Andrew just before I came online, and I've been looking at it constantly as we've been going along, and I do like, I'm going to next best this weekend, Emre Lo. Declan just mentioned many of the reasons why, you know, he is relatively likely race chaser, and I think this distance will really bring out the best of him. He's been...
Sorry, Chris. It's just like, you know, me and Andy have spoken a lot all season about the beginner's chases in Ireland and, you know, how you can run behind really good horses. And then you might go and run in the graded chase. And this is probably the closest I can find to it in Britain of a horse who's been ran like you'd run an Irish chaser who's going to turn up well handicapped at a spring festival.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. I mean, the run last time at Newbury in that novices, it speaks volumes, doesn't it? He was dropped into a handicap. First time really in handicap company on the occasion having jumped. He didn't jump fluently at all in that grade.
The hurdles as well, there was plenty left in the tank for the length it was.
Yeah, there is a lot left under the bonnet here, and I think that this has been a target for a long time for this horse, and it's been relatively, you know, well planned from the Nichols team, and I think he's got a really good... It speaks volumes, I actually think, that Skelton's actually taken the ride on this. You know, Cobden's not there. Is Cobden injured?
Yeah, his face is massive.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. So, probably not read into it, but Skelton's on board. So that's an extra one. I do like Kitty's Light too. I did like Kitty's Light, but I've kind of swaying off her a bit. You know, she won well at Kelso, and that was an uphill finish, just like Sandown is. But I just think that she's going to lack a little bit of a turn of speed at the crucial point in this race, and I think Amarillo brings that to this race. I couldn't have plan of attack from God knows why that horse is 4-1 favourite at all. Golden Fortune, I can see why you like that, Declan. Cross Park's a veteran. He'll do well to even stay. Cap de Nord's another one for the Williams team who's interesting. He's run over hurdles recently and he's back over chasing. I think he's a better chaser. Smooth Stepper won well last time, but this is a different kettle of fish. And a lot of the others are going to have to sprout wings to even get close, I would think, here. I think Emrillo is an absolute plot job for this race. And he'd be my next best of the weekend. Steve, not a race that you've studied a lot, but have you got a selection?
The bit I did write down was pretty similar to what Dex said. I know you both have not the favourite, but I do actually think it's not just obviously because of connections to Bromhead and Blackmore, obviously, is probably knocked a couple of points off, but it was going really well beyond Mount Ida when it came down. And when you bring that into it, you obviously then Chuck Ellie May ran against beat Mount Ida the following time. It puts the level of the race up, doesn't it, a little bit? A lot of these are old plodders. You've got horses that won this race 5 or 6 years ago. I'm sure I saw the young master somewhere. Yeah, the young master.
Yeah, he's in there. He's simply running the race.
He's 13 now. Smooth Stepper, that's normally winning 4 miles around ADOC or something like that.
There's a second mention for ADOC.
A couple of years ago.
Go on, ADOC.
Cross Park.
They have a cadaverous now. Just milk wood, ADOC. Andy, be talking about
four-timer, Nick. Just fueling the fire.
I got you.
I think Emrillo is the most unexposed. Is he got youth on his side? I think everything's going for it.
Yep. Andrew.
Oh, yeah. No, this is not a race I was going to really get involved in. Like there's a couple novices, like, you know, Golden Fortune, what Dex said, like that was a great run at Warwick, and there's every chance he could have won that race if he didn't make that horrendous error at the third last. You know, I think this trip will suit. I didn't actually see the Midlands National now, I'm not going to lie, but you know, Dex said he didn't get into it, and you know, kind of reading the post race comments, it looks like that's fairly accurate. Like he never got better than midfield. As for plan of attack, the ground is absolutely essential to him. You know, you can ignore any time he ran on soft ground. pretty much. Like I know he did, he ran well in the Paddy Power on soft ground, but Leopardstown, when it says soft to Leopardstown, it's not really soft. It's, yeah, like it's quick. And the chase course especially, that can turn quick, and you know, it could be soft at race one and quick at the end of the card. It's really, really crazy drainage at that track. You know, his only run in which he finished this year, like the horses that finished in front of him, albeit he was eighth, were Castlebon West, Manila Times, Farclass, Trainwreck, Mythbuster, Machuca, and Fitzhenry. You know, like a lot of those horses have gone on and won races, and a lot of them have gone on and done bigger things. And, you know, Castlebon West winning that race off 11-10, it's just a real pity he got injured, because that was a monstrous performance. You know, like he was going really, really well in the Kim Muir. Like he probably would have been second. I don't think anything was going to beat Mount Ida that day. You know, despite how she jumped in the early part of the race. You know, would I want to be getting involved a 4-1? Probably not. Trip's a new thing as well. He'll probably stay though. And you know, Rachel Blackmore coming over to ride is great. You know, ITV Racing will absolutely milk that, which is good.
Oh, poor Brian.
Yeah, poor Bryony. Yeah, unless Frodon wins, like she'd want to be, you know, the cloak will want to be on Frodon. yeah, no, and Rilo, like, again, I agree what you guys said. Like, this probably does look like a plot job. Like, he beat arguably the most frustrating horse in the history of chasing. Like, you know, like Holden Oat is kind of getting into single farm payment territory now over fences, and you know, he beat him half a length, but like he is going to improve for the trip. Sham Blue made a show of him, you know, in the Felton, but like there's you know, his jumping went to pieces and that, but you know, Sham Blue before spring, like he was embarrassing decent novice chasers before he ended up admittedly over the top. Like at Aintree he was a shell of himself, and even, you know, Skelton saw his name in lights in the marsh. You know, that's, you know, you can excuse him that he's won either side of that. 7-year-old probably should stay. Look, yeah, he does. I'd agree with you lads. He looks hard to be here. And Rilo and Goal and Fortune would be the ones that really take my fancy, but it would be in Rilo for me.
You're the forecast. Go on.
Okay, yeah, we'll do the forecast in Rilo, Goal and Fortune. Stick with the novices.
Stick with the novices. I agree with that. Stick with the novices. And Rilo, is that a clean sweep?
Looks it.
Yeah, clean sweep for Rilo. Let's hope it doesn't run like last week's Isabella Giles anyway. Don't mention that. Anyway, we'll move on to the next one. The final race we're going to cover now is the Select Hurdle, the Grade 2, at Saturday at Sandown. Let's load up the betting for this from Stuart Skillbet.
This is one.
Miserable race, is that what you said?
I can't find any anywhere for this race.
Is this another 2 mile six or 2 mile 5 and a half?
I couldn't believe this wasn't a handicap.
Can't believe it's a grade two, really. Don't forget to sign up with skillbethq.com and use the code USOBET10 and get yourself a £10 free bet with Skillbet. If you haven't signed up already, head over there. Stu's great guy, and he will sort you out. He's better than Sean Quinn, let's put it that way.
You don't want to if you win too much.
So, there we've got the betting. Who do we fancy? Stephen, let's start with you. You want to start with this one, don't you, mate?
Jesus.
What trip is this?
Well, he doesn't want to start with this, do you? Andrew,
five mile two.
Go on, Steve.
Cold Me Lord, he's no favourite of mine, isn't he? Another ride loss of Simon Maneers.
Steve, what's your favourite colour?
green of Ireland, isn't it?
What colour Arthur and Albert's rooms there? If you were to take your camera there, would they be in two shades of green? Would they?
Sleep on the sofa.
What colour's the sofa?
Is it because you're really love Ireland?
Cold Me Lord, yeah, he's... finally, he also carried big weights and handicaps in the Ascot Sand. He was just a run well with cutting the ground. He then won the internationals last year or the year before, put him in a champion hurdle picture. He's sort of gone off the boil this year. Revitalised this year, back over hurdles after sort of a failed chasing season. Pick Doherty won the Betfair last year, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did. Bloody hell. Captain Zeno, he's only one round Carlisle. Indefatigable, is that how you call it? Fourth in the mayor's race is probably the best single bit of form in this race. Would you agree with that? Or
probably is, yeah.
Beyond Black Tears.
It's like it's perimetry.
You never call, he's 10 years old now. He's all been running these stairs races for the last few years.
Has anyone ever bred it at 2 miles, 5.5 furlong hard? I'm going to buy a select hurdle horse.
Don't. Don't do it.
What price was the filly, Chris? The mare, sorry?
Hang on.
Was she favourite? Was she Indefatigable?
Indefatigable's 4-1.
Yeah, obviously she ran a bit below last time, but that mare's race, the fourth behind Constantisa and Black Tears, is probably the strongest bit of form in the race. Mm. She's getting a stone off the top two. That would probably be my bet, Chris.
Yeah. Indefatigable. Mm. Nicely put. Declan, you?
Look, the favourite is, you know, he was toured in the Anglo-Stayers Hurdle, wasn't he? At Cheltenham.
You never call.
Jim Bailey had second and third in the Stayers Hurdle, didn't he? He'd be the third of the Irish horses. But that's like, you know, if you get rid of all the Irish horses, you know, which we want to do next year, you know, Vindication was second, and you know, Your Never Call was 26th or something, which is toured, you know, if you get rid of all the Irish horses. You know, he hasn't won since he won this race in 2019. Pig Dory is a failed chaser. You know, Steve said indefatigable fought in the mares, but she didn't build on that R entry. Now look, I know it came quick and you can discard that. But she won the Martin Piper. I did put her up for a race earlier on the season, but you know, she's just not really good enough. On the blind side is a really consistent sort. And he can beat poor fields, and this is a poor field, and you know, this is probably one of those. He's probably the winner here. You know, he's probably the obvious one. You're looking all around, and he's the one. He's not my selection. Captain Zeebo, he's unbeaten since moving from Mouth to John Dixon. Is it John Dixon?
Yeah, John Dixon. Yeah, he's really well at Carlisle, and obviously he's unbeaten at Carlisle.
Yeah, he's won four on the trot at Carlisle and won. Where I'm not sure where the race before that was. He deserves He deserves a goal at this level. Look, I'm not sure whether this race is at grade two level, but he deserves to move up in grade anyway.
No.
Call me Lord, batters to the save. I'm not calling anyone horses spoof for tonight. It's getting ridiculous. You know, this weekend, Reggie's right about the weekend's racing. It's not great. Look as well. The World Championships are on next week, and Monday night we'll be back to preview the World Champs. Do you know what? They all skip entry this year. You know, Punchestown's going to be a cracker this year. You know, usually they're all been freshened up for it because we've loads of money. Punchestown's been bringing back the sterling all year, and we've loads of money.
Hopefully, us Brits can bring back some money from you guys for once. Can't see it happening, but
winner. There's 106 races at Punchestown. Clondalk Caden, I think she's very interesting. She's obviously, she beat George's horse, Cavadoja, Kelso last season, but she's beaten the likes of Reyna's World. And you know, I've spoken a lot about Reyna's World, and there's interesting form lines there. And look, there's another who well deserves a chance here, and I think she's good value in this race where you're picking holes and everything. I think she could be a decent bet here. Look, on the blind side, probably just goes and wins this. He's probably the obvious one, but you're sort of always trying to take him on, aren't you? Even though
he just runs
to that level, and it's this sort of, he beat poor fields. But, you know, Tom Mark, I didn't like that bit of value. What price is on the blind side, actually, with Stu?
He is, I think that he is 5-1. Let me just check that.
Look, that's not a bad bet.
I just think
Clondalk Caden deserves a chance here, and she's more interesting. he's a bit boring, really. You know, again, not that I don't, you know, you should never back that way. You should never gamble that way, kids. You know, don't gamble at all. But he's staring you in the face, but we all want to take him on. But yeah, I know that's what I'm going to do with Clonlaw, Caitlin.
Thanks for Anthony Cousins there for the stat. Ruth Jefferson has had a third winner in a year today, so she's in form, Declan. Andrew, what do you fancy for this, mate?
I don't think we're even going to get a Racing Post headline about this race. I think they'll go with a Phoenix Thoroughbred beatdown instead of covering this race. I'm going to keep it short and sweet here. Like, I'm going to bank that the 3 mile race didn't take a lot out of Indefatigable. She just kind of plodded around out the back and just was never really dangerous, but it didn't necessarily look like she had the hardest race in the world. And this is just like, you know, if any of these horses, maybe with the exception of Captain Zebo, because he's a load of ones beside his name, if any of these just rocked up in a handicap, like, they'd be huge prizes. You know, they're probably badly handicapped, and this is a respite for them. It's just like, there's, as you guys said correctly, you know, they all have question marks, and maybe, yeah, Clondalk Caitlin probably is the one with the least amount of question marks. And she's the rag of the field, so you know, you could take it that way. But she is she's 137 rated, and I know I did say that the others are probably a bit below their marks, but they're probably not that far below their marks. You know, she could run into a place. If there was eight or more, it might have been a little bit more interest in her. But I think Indefatigable, based on her run behind Black Tears at Cheltenham, and you know, 3 miles probably wasn't her cup of tea. Like, what mare wants to stay 3 miles outside Roxana? We all know they need 2.5, and even though it's 2.6, I'll take the chance that Indefatigable would be your one to be with here.
Right, summarise. Indefatigable for Andy. Stephen's muted.
And he gave us a cracker of a joke there, and he's muted. I'm devastated.
Yeah, no.
He's chuckling at himself.
He doesn't even have the kids in the background.
Do you want to say it again, Steve?
Will we get him a double green screen? But like, definitely. Two shades of green.
Yes.
Okay, now.
What was yours, Declan?
Clonlaw and Applin.
Clonlaw, Applin, excellent. Right, that brings us to the end of the podcast, but let's go over, have we got anything else? What's the nap of the weekend, guys? What is the nap of the weekend? Go on, Declan, you're eager, I can see.
I'm not eager. It's not a nap, but I did put this horse up at the listed bumper, the mare's listed bumper on Marco Raisin, and she was massive odds, and she ran a great race behind Island Over. She then made her hurdles debut and won a 40-1. She unseated then. She was probably going to win the next race, short odds, and then she ran out on the week. Look, she hasn't been very impressive when she's won, but she's running again tomorrow, Dragon Bones, and she's a back of a price. Like, she's 3-1. I think she's a good horse. She's a good attitude. She's tough. You know, we spoke about a tough mare earlier, and they usually, you know, when they're tough, they're very, very tough, and they keep their heads in front of you. You know, a tough mare is usually tougher than the geldings, and she's a really likable sort. She'll go back to good price tomorrow.
You got one?
Not out of the races we covered. I'll just give you one that I think will win, though. It's the first race at Sandown on Friday. Richard Hughes's horse, Nelson Gray. He's about 2-1. It's a 5-runner sprint. He's chasing a hat trick, but I still like, he just blitzed him at Wolverhampton last time out, and he's going in for a hat trick here. I still think he's fairly well treated off his turf form. Yeah, and I think he'll just bag the rail here from stall 3, and that's that. I just think he'll go and win. I'll be having a nice bet on him tomorrow, and then
what's a nice bet?
£10, €10.
I think I'll have 250 each way at 74. Yeah. And I might, look, I think he'll win, and I do like Bellocchio in the Sandown trial. So I'll be watching Lone Eagle closely in that as well. I won't be going too mad. I'll probably be keeping the powder dry for punches though.
Stephen?
No naps, I don't think this way. I do like, obviously I'm gonna be back in school right in the chase. I like Etonian at 8-1 in the classic trial. I'm sort of coming around at the highest ground as well. Now, the more I see the money, I just start to think they could be confident. I was going to just say one thing, Andy. Do you remember a horse called I Am Superman?
Oh, I Am Superman. Yeah, he's in Australia. Mick O'Callaghan.
He's running a £2 million race tomorrow, Saturday morning.
Oh, randomly.
Yeah, he's my power. He was a big lad now, I Am Superman. Yeah, lovely horse.
He was very raw
as a two-year-old, and then he really came to the fore as a three-year-old. I think Mick O'Callaghan still owns him, but he made the decision that he'd be better in Australia.
He's in a race worth absolute fortunes on Saturday morning.
Oh, he's a big lad now. He's a lovely colt. I think he's gelding now, but he's a lovely horse. And I hope he goes well. Mick O'Callaghan's a good trainer as well. If he gets a good one, he can train it, you know?
Yeah. And it's
in Avon on Sunday as well. Got Admiral Nelson. There's about Dippers on, they're all in there, aren't they? All the speed merchants from that yard.
Lovely horse.
And myself next best is Amarillo in that Gold Cup. But the Knapp runs in the 4:30 at Leicester on Saturday, which is King Mania for Chris Wall. I probably mentioned this to you in the chat last year, King Mania. He's running in a class 5.
He ran into the rail at Pontefract, didn't he?
Yeah, he's still over 7 furlongs, and he probably will, you know, he'll probably get a little bit further, I reckon.
Oh, this thing needs 10.
Yeah, but
out of Greek goddess. He did it very well.
He did do it very well last time at Yarmouth, and I think, you know, as a three-year-old, I think he'll become even better. There was a lot of talk about him last year about being a decent horse. He's got a mark of 72, and I think there's a lot of movement in that mark. I think he is shoeing at Leicester at 4:30 on Saturday, King Mania, if he takes a ride. Patsy Cosgrove's on that. So, you look at the race, and there's a lot of, you know, obviously 3-year-olds coming back from the 2-year-olds days, and they've run a lot, some of them. So King Mania of the Knapp this weekend.
One firm is priced at Chris. 7-2.
Who is the price?
That'll go off shorter. William Hill, that will go off shorter.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do he'd probably go for around 2-1, I reckon. So if you can get that 7-2 now, I'd be on that. Second favourite's Hedora. No way at all. That is an absolute massive Knapp this weekend at King Mania. Easily. Well, he's way better than 75 horse, tell you now. That's all I can say.
That horse has about a stone in hand on it, says when it goes up and trip, I'd say at least.
Yeah. Put it over a mile, maybe a mile and one after a little bit. And should be seeing more improvement, but I think he's got a great starting point there over 7. If Chris Wall has had 2 winners in the last 2 weeks, so he's hopefully the form, the team are in decent nick anyway. So yeah, that'll be mine for Saturday. Thanks very much for joining us, guys.
Very good.
Cheers, Dan. Thank you.
Not the best weekend's racing, but we've ploughed through it, and that's the best we can do. Look forward to seeing a few good little bits, and we will be back on Monday. Monday is going to be our big one. It's a big one.
Chris.
Yeah, we've got a big special guest on Monday. We've got the champion flat jockey coming on. It is Oisin Murphy will be with us on Monday. He's going to be coming in and having a chat with us just before we kick into the Punches Challenge chat. Bit of a crossover there of chords, isn't it, with the the flat and the
jockey. He's related to Jim Cullity, so
yeah. We'll ask Oisin for his Knapp of the week at Punchestown then, won't we?
Ah, yeah.
Oh, yes. Right, well, that'll be it. Yeah, we'll post away, share us, get signing up for Skillbet as best you can, boys. And we will see.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Head on over to our handle at USO Podcast and click the notification bell to never miss an episode.